I got her tied down tonight so she won't go flying through the air like I do. I got so many long arms. Now we got it. Okay, turn with me to John chapter 12, John chapter 8, and John chapter 3. We want to read them in that order. In these three portions of Scripture in the book of John, we have the words lifted up in reference to the person of Christ. The Lord Jesus is ending now His earthly ministry to the public in this 12th chapter of John. After the 12th chapter of John, we go into the 13th chapter, and this is a ministry that He's ministering to His saints in the upper room. This chapter we find the foot washing chapter, where the Lord washed the feet of the disciples in the upper room. And then in the 14th chapter, they were still in the upper room. And the end of that chapter, they leave the upper room and on their way to the Garden of Gethsemane. In the 15th chapter and the 16th chapter was either spoken by our Lord on the way to the garden or in the garden. And then that great prayer that He prayed, which is His intercessory prayer and really is the prayer of our Lord, which is the Lord's prayer, is that 17th chapter. Now, in this 12th chapter, the Lord Jesus is saying, because He knows just in a few hours He's going to be crucified, and then He begins to enumerate the things that's going to take place and what His death is going to do. Now look at verse 31 of the 12th chapter of John. Now is the judgment of this world. And what He's talking about here is this world's system. God will judge the world's system. And now shall the prince of this world, which is none other than Satan himself, be cast out, which means Satan will be judged also when Christ was crucified on the cross. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This He said, signifying what death He should die. I want you to hold that place, because we're going to come back to that chapter after we read the other references that I want to read. Now go to the 8th chapter of John and verse 28. Then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am He, or I am, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. Now we'll go to just one verse in the 3rd chapter, because we're going to come back to that chapter later on in the message and in more detail. And the Lord Jesus explaining to Nicodemus how to be born again, He uses again the word lifted up. And He says in verse 14, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. We've got two must in this portion of Scripture. One of them is that you must be born again. And the other one is the Son of God must be lifted up. Before you can be born again, the must of Him being lifted up must be first. And then you must be born again as a result of Him being lifted up. Now go back to the 12th chapter of John. I, and if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. Just what does this mean? Does it mean that all men are going to be saved? Now let me be quick to say that all men can be saved. The Scripture teaches that God would have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. It also said that He is not willing that any, I want you to get that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And also in Acts 17, verse 31, He said, God commandeth all men everywhere. Note that. All men everywhere. He commanded it. You see, to be saved and to repent is a command of God to the sinner. To disobey God's command in accepting Jesus Christ as a direct disobedience to the command of God. He commanded the sinner to be saved. He commands the sinner to repent. And God wouldn't command you to do something you can't do. You can repent. As I said last night, everyone who came to the meeting, and I say it again to you tonight, no one made you come to this meeting tonight. You used your own will. You made a decision that you would come. And you came. And you came of your own will. You could have stayed at home. You see, we make decisions. If you would just sit down and write every time you made a decision during the course of a day, you'd be surprised how many times you make a decision about different things. Now, you can make a decision about God's Son. You can make a decision about being saved. There's no need to tell me you can't, because that's not true. You can be saved. Now, but what does this mean, that all men will be drawn unto me? It doesn't mean that his resurrection, however he was lifted up from the earth, he was lifted up in his ascension, but it does mean that all men will be drawn to him either now in salvation or in judgment. Let me say this tonight to you that's in this meeting, you not you, you're saved. That every human being is going to be drawn to Jesus Christ. It's an impossibility for one man to escape of being drawn to that person. We believe that from the standpoint of history concerned, that all history before Christ died on the cross was dated, such as documents and legal papers and things were dated B.C., before Christ. All papers and documents, and now they got all these things in computers, dates back to the death of Christ, which would be A.D., after the death of Christ. So everything is focused and drawn to that central point when Christ died upon the cross. Even history had a change. God changed even the whole society and history and legal documents, and everything has to recognize that Jesus Christ died on the cross. God has seen to it that it has happened that way. But to be drawn unto Him means that you either be drawn to Him now in salvation, and it says in this verse, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. You see, what God is going to do, He's going to draw every man to the fact that He lifted His Son up, or allowed men to lift Him up on the cross for salvation. And man has been given a free will by God. I think I said one night this week that when Adam sinned in the Garden of Eden, he died spiritually. Means that he was separated, without God, without hope, depraved. But there was one element that he didn't lose. And that was the element of a free will to choose. Now, there are those who teach that today that man cannot even will to get saved. I don't agree with that. That's false doctrine. Other words, they say that you're so dead that you can't even make a choice for Christ. Oh, yes, you can. And I wouldn't back down for no man or no theologian or anybody else. Because I proved to you last night from the book of Genesis, those that were here and heard me, that God called Adam, and God knew where he was. God knew that he had sinned, but he called him and said, "Where art thou?" And it's ridiculous to think that he didn't know where he was, because he did. But he only called him so that man would use his will to answer God's call. Now, God could have made man like a machine, just like I turned on the two buttons to record my message. And that thing wouldn't have turned on itself unless it was an automatic thing. And they've got so many automatic things now that comes on automatically. But still, man had to make it automatic for it to come on anyway. So it had man's touch to it, doesn't it? God made you and I individual beings with a will to choose, and God wants you to choose to accept His Son. And then let me say something to the Christians. God wants you to choose to serve Him willingly, lovingly from your heart, not by compulsion. If you're serving the Lord for what you're getting out of it, you missed it. If you're serving the Lord for what, for popularity or fame, or afraid, or frightened, or maybe think if you don't serve Him, you won't go to heaven, you've missed it. Your service for the Lord as a Christian, it should be motivated out of love from your heart alone to God. I serve Him. There's this little chorus we sing sometimes. I will serve Him because I love Him. Huh? You know, when you serve somebody that you love, it's a pleasure. Somebody you love to do things for them. And the Lord wants you to make your choice for Him. So we see then what it means here, to draw men unto me, means that all will be drawn, either now in salvation or at the great white throne judgment. They'll stand there drawn to the person of Christ. You see, God, as I said a while ago, has given every man a will to choose His Son or reject Him. And He won't force you to do it. I quit long time ago in my ministry of trying to force a profession out of people. If the Holy Spirit hasn't convicted you, and if you haven't reached the place of knowing that you are lost, and that you are a sinner, and that you need Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you haven't reached that place, and when you do reach that place, you will come of your own willingness and receive Christ, and you won't need the priming and the pumping of a preacher. And we've got so much priming and pumping of preachers today that if they don't get a showing of somebody to come down and stand at the front or get on their knees, they feel like they've made a flop in their ministry. My minister is going to be determined at the judgment seat of Christ whether it was a flop or not, not whether I had great success down here. Because God is going to reward us for faithfulness and not for success. I like to see souls come to Christ. And I like to see them come God's way. And I want them to come God's way. There's not the great scores of people don't get saved in my ministry because I don't put the hamper on them. I don't pump on them. I let the Spirit of God deal with them. I preach the truth from the platform and then leave it with the Lord. Now, every human being is going to be drawn to Him. Now, when He said, I'm going to be lifted up, what did He mean by this? He meant the kind of death that He would die, because verse 33 said, this He said, signifying what death He should die. And we go to other portions of Scripture in the Bible and we find the kind of death that He died, especially to Philippians 2. We find that He was subject to death, even the death of, or He became obedient to death, rather it says, even the death of the cross, which means the death of crucifixion. That's the kind of death that He died, was the death of crucifixion, which was being lifted up on a cross. No wonder Paul said that the preaching of the cross is foolishness to them that believe not. The very idea to preach that one man died on a cross. One man died on the cross for the whole human race, and that the whole human race can be saved from their sins by this one man's death on a cross. Now, to the intellectual mind and the unsaved world and even the religious man, that is foolishness, because they've got to help God out with His salvation. God doesn't need any help with His salvation. It's all of Him. It's purely by grace through faith. And I don't see how any people can see that it isn't. Now go with me to John chapter 3. The unsaved man cannot see the kingdom of God. He cannot love God. He cannot please God. He cannot obey God because he's a sinner. And the only way that you can obey God, the only way that you can love God, and the only way you can understand God, and that is to a measure, and the only way you can please God, that you've got to first have God living in you. You've got to first have His love in you. And that love is Christ. And when Christ comes in, He produces the fruits of the Spirit. You know, the fruit of the Spirit is none other than the characteristics of Christ revealed in a believer's life, being seen in his life. Now, in this third chapter of John, you have a man. And I want you to note what it says. You have man here at his very best. Nicodemus is a representative of the best of men. He had everything going for him as far as a young man. If salvation was by prestige and good works and religion and popularity and riches and no doubt good looks and young, then he had it all. He was a real, genuine candidate for salvation or to be saved if this was the way for man to be saved. But when the Lord Jesus, he approached the Lord Jesus, and he evidently must have seen the miracles that he performed, the miracle that he performed in chapter 2, or heard about it, because he said he came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except he be born, God be with him. Now, what I want to talk about now, the reason I give you these three portions of Scripture concerning him being lifted up, because this is the way a man is born again. And the word born again really means born from above or born anew. It means to become a new creation. And many people are troubled and many people are confused as to what the meaning of being born again means. It means that you become a new creature, that God gives you a new life. Not the old one, but a new one. And that's what Nicodemus is seeing here. Now, we want to look at this man. He's a Pharisee. He's a ruler. He's a rabbi. He's a teacher in Israel. He taught the Old Testament. He taught Judaism. He knew a great deal about the Old Testament. As I said, here's a very well-informed man, even in the religious field. But note something. He said he only recognized the Lord Jesus as a miracle worker and a teacher come from God. He didn't know him as God. And when Jesus answered in verse 3 and said, "Except I verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again or born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Now here's a man who is intelligent, highly intelligent, highly educated, religious, and I want you to note the ignorance in this man. Nicodemus said unto him, "How can a man be born when he's old?" I want you to see it doesn't make any difference how educated you are, how religious you are, that man in that condition is just as totally blinded to spiritual things as the man who's in the ditch. No difference. And these are the hardest people to reach, is religious, intelligent, sensible, sometimes geniuses, as far as their mind is concerned, and they think because they're all of this that they got all the answers. But this man proves to us that he was totally ignorant of what Jesus was talking about. "How in the world can I be born of my mother again after I've been born and I'm an old man?" Well, he was speaking good sense. He was speaking things that was only natural for a man to say. I would have said the same thing, no doubt. No doubt you would have said the same thing. Because he thought that Jesus meant that he had to be born again of his mother, the natural birth. Then Jesus said, verse 5, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water." He first told him that he must be born again. Now he's going to tell him what he's got to be born of. I believe the word water here would refer to the Word of God. There's many other portions of Scripture that would bear that out. We won't go into all the details of that now. It's not water baptism. Born of the Word and born of the Spirit. He tells him that he must be born of the Word and of the Spirit. He cannot enter the kingdom of God. All right? That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That's the natural birth. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. That's the spiritual birth. This is very distinctive. It's very, very wonderfully distinguished which is here. Marvel not. By this time Nicodemus began to marvel. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Let me ask you a question. Do you know you're born again? Now, a lot of people don't understand the term. If you'd asked me the day I got saved, was I born again? I wouldn't have known what to have answered. But if you'd asked me, was I saved? I could have told you a hearty amen and yes. But I didn't know that I was born again, because I didn't understand the terminology of it. And a few days later, I knew that when I got saved that day, that I was born again, that it took place. And I found it out from the information of the Word of God, especially this chapter, that God regenerated me, that God gave me a new creation, that God gave me a new life the moment I trusted Christ. Now, let me just say this. Let's not worry about the term born again, whether you have it or not. The thing you want to be deeply concerned about is whether you have Christ or not. Amen? If you've got Christ, you don't have to worry about new birth, because it's there. Amen? If you know the Lord Jesus is your Savior, the new birth is there. I know that I'm born again because I know I trusted Christ. That determines my new birth. That brought it to pass when I accepted Christ. All right? Then the Lord uses the Holy Spirit's work as similar to the wind. He says the wind bloweth where it listeth, and the sound, you hear is the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whether it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Now, you can't tell which way the wind comes from. You know, if you've got one of these things on top of your house that it's got an arrow on it and a rooster on the other end, and it points to which way the wind's blowing. It may be coming from the south or north, but you don't know where it originates from. Where did it come from? The ocean? From the air? Well, we know God controls the wind. We know that God's in control of it. And we don't know which way it goes after it's blown by. We don't see the wind blowing. We see the results of it. We see the trees moving, the grass moving, the dust flying, getting all your sinuses, and all that. So is the work of the Spirit. Now I want you to look at verse 9. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? He's reached a point of great anxiety. He knows now that the Lord is not talking about a physical birth, but something different that he doesn't know anything about. How can these things be? How can I be born again? And the Lord Jesus, for the sake of time, we want to step down to verse 12. If I've told you earthly things and you believe them not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. Now he's going to tell Nicodemus how to get the new birth. That's why I read these three portions of Scriptures concerning being lifted up. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. You've read that in Numbers 20, haven't you? How that the snakes came among the Israelites because of their grumbling and complaining. And these poisonous snakes had bitten them, and many people died from the snake bites. And no doubt many more were on the way to death from the snake bites. Many of them were dying, and some had died. And they cried out to Moses, and Moses cried out to God. And I want you to note the simplicity and the simple means or method that God used for man to be healed from the snake bites. He said, Moses, take some brass and make a brazen serpent and put him, that brazen serpent, on the top of a pole in the midst of the camp of Israel. Now, don't that sound ridiculous? What good is it for me to look at a brazen serpent on a pole? Why, that isn't going to do me any good of my snake bites. But you see, it was God's way. That's the reason it worked. It was God's method. That's the reason it did the job. And he said, you tell every snake-bitten Israelite to just look. Now, I want you to note something now. Not at the pole. Let me say something to you tonight. You can look at the cross and go to hell. The cross cannot save you. Moses did not tell those children of Israel to look at that pole. They told them to look at that snake on the pole. What God is saying to the unsaved world today, I want you to look at my son hanging on a cross. It's him who is the Savior, not the cross. You can't separate the cross from his death. That's the kind of death he died. He was crucified on a cross like a criminal. It was predicted in the Old Testament his hands would be pierced and his feet, and his back would be scourged. So the mode of crucifixion was being practiced when our Lord was crucified. So they treated him just like they did a criminal. He was numbered with the transgressors, says the Word of God. And in his death with the rich people buried him, Joseph and Nicodemus, the same man here that got saved. How can these things be? Okay, Nicodemus, you know about the story of Moses lifting up the serpent in the wilderness. And all that Israelite had to do was just look upon the brazen serpent. But that look wasn't just a mere look of a glance. It was a look of faith. It's got to be a look of faith, which means a look of trust. I'm going to trust that God said if I'd look. You see, this is faith. God said if I'll trust, I'll look at that brazen serpent, I'll be healed of the snake bites. That's faith. And immediately, everyone that looked was instantly healed. Even so must the Son of Man be lifted up on a cross, that whosoever believeth, whosoever looketh, whosoever trusteth, whosoever receiveth, will be saved and never perish. Have everlasting life and never perish. Think of it. Instantly. Let me say this. The moment you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are instantly born from above. Instantly. Not partially. Completely. Perfectly. And forever the moment you trusted Him. I ask you the question, have you ever done that? Have you ever trusted the Christ who died? Lifted up for you on that cross. Are you sure? As I said a while ago, don't worry about the term born again or the new birth. Don't try to understand it. Just be sure you received Christ. And then you will know, and then you will begin to understand the new birth after you accept Christ. Because when you accept Christ, it'll happen. The moment it happened, these people were healed instantly. Isn't it wonderful to see this? When this man's... I'm sure that Nicodemus was saved. I believe we're going to see him in heaven. Some don't want to believe he was. Some said he was a secret believer. But he did come forward at the death of Christ. He came forward with Joseph of Arimathea, and they too took that body down, wrapped it in the linens, and brought the expensive spices, what we would say today, embalming fluids, to preserve the body as long as possible, and wrapped that body and gave him a decent, rich burial, and laid him in Joseph's tomb. I believe Nicodemus is in heaven. I believe Nicodemus was born again that day. And you can too. And it was a simple message, a simple demonstration. You mean to say all I've got to do is just look up and trust the man, Christ Jesus, hanging on a cross, bearing my sins, being made sin for me, which is what I am by nature, a sinner. And then he bare my sins that I committed because I was a sinner. I think I've said this week one or two times that you don't become a sinner by sinning. You are a sinner by birth, a sinner by practice, and a sinner by choice. And you sin because you are a sinner. You didn't become one by sinning. You were born that way. And that's why the new birth is so necessary. You must be born again. And so to be saved, to be born again, means to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. Now I want you to note something. When those Israelites looked at that serpent on the pole, it worked. Every sinner, from the time that Christ was crucified, and you know the first soul that got saved by the crucified Savior was the thief. There was others got saved before that. But the one that got saved was the one hanging on the cross beside of him. And I want you to note the words that he said in order to get saved. He was fully aware that he was a sinner. He'd been convicted that he was deserving what he was getting. And I want you to note something else. Although that man was saved, he still wasn't saved from physical death. He had to pay for his crime to society that he had committed. He had to die physically. But he was saved. And Jesus, when he said, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." That's all he said. "Lord, remember me." What precious truth. And Jesus said, "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." That means that man was saved. Now Jesus went to paradise before that thief did. Because when you read the record, when the soldiers came to break the legs of those thieves, and they broke the two thieves' legs, but when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they break not his legs, that the scripture might be fulfilled, but not a bone of him was broken. But then they took the spear and pierced his side, another scripture to be fulfilled. And John bare record that he saw blood and water come forth after the spear was pierced into his side. And I believe literally, as most Bible scholars says, that spear plunged into his heart. A sure certainty of death. And when they took that body down from the cross, the Lord Jesus was not in that body. He was in paradise. A little later, that thief died and went to paradise, and all he did was, "Lord, remember me." All Nicodemus did to be saved and to receive the new birth was to believe in the uplifted Christ on a cross. That he was so familiar with the uplifted serpent that was a type. Now let's look at this serpent for a little bit. This serpent was made out of brass material. And brass in the scripture speaks of judgment of God. The serpent itself speaks of the curse. And that serpent also is a type of Christ on the cross, bearing the curse, which is death. Sin brought death. We went to the nursing home today. I heard groans. There was one dear lady just singing loud out in the hall in the wheelchair. You could hear her after we got out of the building. It's a pitiful sight to see what sin has done to the human nature, body, and how they have become so deteriorated. Some whose minds have begun to where they don't recognize you or don't remember you, don't know who you are. Sin brought all of that. We've got all kinds of diseases today. We've got two great fatal diseases, three now, there's one been added. Heart diseases and cancer and the terrible disease of AIDS that's been brought by a terrible sin that's happening in our world today. Of such immoral, perverted things that's happening among mankind. God's judgment is falling on this earth. Not like it's going to fall. And what makes it so bad, unsaved friend, if you're here lost tonight? It's not going to get any better for you. It's not going to get any better for us Christians as far as the world is concerned. As far as our relationship to the world, it's going to get worse. It's going to get better as far as heaven's concerned. It's going to be better when because Jesus is coming. And let me ask you something. Are you sure you're saved? Are you sure you're born again? How can I be born again, you say? You're asking the same question Nicodemus did. How can these things be? Jesus is going to say to you, like He said to him, I was lifted up on the cross to bear your sins. Let me give you some verses. 1 Peter 2:24. Who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree. There it is. Let me give you another one in Galatians. Listen to this one. Galatians chapter 3. It says in verse 13, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse, death, being made a curse for us. That's His death on the cross. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a what? On a tree. Again, the cross. And I want you to note the purpose. Verse 14. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. You see, when you accept Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit does the work of the new birth in your heart. The Holy Spirit comes in and He gives you a new nature, God's nature. Isn't that wonderful? Are you saved tonight? Are you born again? Don't go away if you're not sure. We haven't convened these meetings for the purpose just to preach at you and offend you. If you get offended at the truth, I'm sorry. I can't apologize for preaching the truth. I wouldn't be your friend if I didn't tell you you need to be born again if you're lost. I wouldn't be your friend if I didn't tell you that you're in danger of hell if you don't come to Christ. And that you'll be lost forever if you don't turn to Him. When I said a while ago in the beginning of the message, we'll draw all men to Me. It doesn't mean that all men will be saved, but all men can be saved. Now, God knows that not all people are going to accept His Son. But that doesn't mean that all people can't. And that doesn't mean that God didn't provide Him for all men. Salvation is provided for every human being. As I've said also this week, if you die and go to hell, it'll be your choice, not God's. I do not believe that God has predestined you to go to hell. To say that some people can't be saved is a false doctrine from the devil. Now, God knows who can't, and God knows who will, but He didn't determine their choice. No, He didn't. He gave every human being a will to choose. And you are totally responsible for what you do with Jesus Christ. Now you can accept Him and you can reject Him. Now God's going to hold you accountable for what you do with Him. If you reject Him and you die that way, you're just as sure for hell if you was already there. If you accept Him, you're just as sure for heaven if you was already there. Now the choice is yours. The decision is yours. I can't make you do it. I may make you make a profession. I may rap on you and keep on hammering on you. You make a profession to get rid of me. Wouldn't be worth that. But if you trust Jesus Christ after having been convicted, you know what I like to see, brethren and sisters? I'd like to see what I used to see in the 40s, that when I preached a message like this, I'd see sinners shaking in their seats. I see tears rolling down their faces. I saw conviction upon their faces. I saw them walk out of the aisle before we even started the singing and coming down to the front to get saved. Under conviction, the Holy Spirit. Oh, God, give us those days again. I would to God I could see it again. And I believe if we'll preach the Word of God as it is and tell it like it is, without compromising and without camouflaging and we're trying to doctrine it up and just tell it like it is, that men are going to hell. If they don't get saved, if they get saved, they're going to heaven. We believe God's going to honor His Word. But the hardest thing to do is to keep sinners coming back. John Bramhall told me just a few weeks ago, he said, "Brother Hubert, it's hard to get a week's meeting anymore. To get 1 week's meeting. Could I take my Bible tonight and show you how to be saved?" If you trust Jesus Christ tonight, you will be sure that you have the new birth. Just be sure you trust Him. Is anyone sure? I mean, is everyone sure? And is anyone not sure? Is what I'm trying to say. I'd like to show you. We're going to sing a song. We would like for you, if you would like, to get up and come up here and sit down. And we take you to a private room and sit down with you. And read and show you how you can be born again. Born from above. Could I do that? Shall we sing, brother?
239.
We'd like to sing just two verses of this song. Whatever two verses our brother liked to sing. We'd like for you to stand. And I want to say this before we sing. Coming to the front won't save you. Shaking my hand, there's no virtue there at all. The only thing I'm saying is that I give you an invitation to come forward is to do it publicly. That you're not ashamed to let this crowd and before God that you need salvation or you have been saved since you've been sitting in this room. And then let us take the Scriptures and give the assurance of it. Or if you're not saved, then lead you to the Lord. Would you do that? Shall we stand?
First and fourth verses. Have you any room for Jesus, He who bore your load of sin? As He knocks and asks admission, sinner, will you let Him in? Room for Jesus, King of glory. Hasten now, His word obey. Swing the heart's door widely open. Bid Him enter one you may.
Let me say this, if you won't come forward. Would you like for us to come to your home? Sit down with you in the privacy of your home? Or would you like to come up here after we dismiss and sit down? Or we would like for you to be sure. I hope everybody is sure they're born again tonight. But if you're not, don't take a chance to go out that door not knowing it. It's dangerous. Please, listen to the Spirit's call. Come to Him tonight. Shall we sing the last verse?
And I now give to Jesus. Soon will pass God's day of grace. Soon thy heart left cold and silent, and thy Savior's pleading cease. Room for Jesus, King of glory. Hasten now, His will obey. Swing the heart's door widely open.
Please enter while you can. Shall we pray? Father, we commend to Thee Thy Word. We know that it will not return void to Thee. We take comfort and encouragement that when Thy Word is preached, that Thou will honor it. It's a savior unto life to some and a savior unto death to others.